Keep your money. We need your prayers. That's what we need. So anyway, but they would pull their resources, whether they were material, financial, personal, whatever the case may be, and they would send these to Paul as he went around because they caught the vision of doing the ministry in places where they were not. And later, Paul would call that church at Philippi. Well, he wouldn't call them, but he would imply that they were very important to him and a huge part of his ministry. And he would write a letter back to that church, which we call Philippians, and explain to them what was taking place in his ministry. Because as they were doing all this stuff, he would eventually be arrested for his testimony. Gee, sound familiar? He'd been arrested for his testimony, and the church sent people to try to help him because they were just panicked because he had now locked up for the gospel's sake. And Paul would write back to them from that prison this thing that we call Philippians. That's his letter. So you can read it as a sort of a missions newsletter. But in that, he talks about how the church has supplied everything that he needs. They had met all of his needs. And it's that, after Paul makes that statement, that Paul follows it up with one that we always quick to quote because we forget about the verses that come. And Paul would finish up with, "You have supplied all my needs." And then Paul would say, "Therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." And so I'm saying all of that to say, this is why we do what we do. You see, what these guys have shared with you, what's going on with Steph, what's going on with Sherry still over there, with Luke and Kristen, and all of the folks involved in Maforga, now down in Vilankulu instead of up at Maforga, with Ed and Kelly in Kenya, in Nairobi, with, we could just go on, all the folks that are all over Africa that we as a church get involved in. The folks, as Terry was talking to us in Belize, with Trav and Liz, and the things that this fellowship is doing. You see, what we're doing, you guys, we're doing this. We're doing this verse. And that is why God does what he does amongst our fellowship. Because we're doing what he's asked us to do. It's not that we're just sending our prayers over there, though we certainly do that. We'll be meeting tonight, if you'd like to join us, to continue that. But we're also sending people, as you already know. Three have gone this year, two have returned, one is still there, Sherry's there. Our church itself has sent out Stephanie as an extension of who we are to actually live and function there. We have been a huge part of Luke and Christian's ministry, of Ed and Kelly's, and we could go on and on. You get the idea. And that's what fellowship is supposed to do. So we've sent help prayerfully. We've sent help personally by sending people. There are many of us that have gone. A group of us went last year to Maforga. Marie and I have gone there a year before that. And then I was even there, you know, 3 or 4 years before Marie went. Plus the time that we spent, this church, you guys sending me over to minister to the leadership in Thailand, which we were already talking about. Certainly Belize. And we could just go on and on. So you see, this ultimately is what happened. We're all who believed were together and had all things in common. You see, the goal has nothing to do with you and I. Isn't that cool? This isn't about me and it ain't about you, so get over it. It's about them. And that's why we pool our resources in every capacity, prayer, personally, financially, materially, whatever it is. That's why we do that, because this was the example that was set for us 2,000 years ago, man. And we're continuing it today, and how awesome that is. And let me say, and I will close with this. I know you guys don't always hear that. One of the things that you see when you go over there, we're here, we're watching the video, and it's cool. It's a lot of fun to see that, especially the pictures of these guys dancing. Love that part. Never was that creative myself. I almost fell getting up to answer a question over here. But what you find is, in their minds, of course, and I know they would say the same thing, it's cool to have been a part of getting the clinic back up and on its feet. Yes, that's really cool. It's cool to have helped these children. It's even going to be cooler when the well and stuff gets there. And I'm going to read a letter here for you in a minute that Roy sent to me. And the tractor and all of the other stuff, those things are all really cool. But I'll tell you what sticks with these guys is those relationships. That little girl, did you see that? Did you catch that where Sherry was with, we were with her last year and she met that little girl who, what is it again? What's her name? Jacinta, yeah. That little tiny thing. She was adorable. Oh my gosh. She was so cute. They're all like that. You know, you just want to hug and squeeze them all. I kind of scare them. I don't know why that is, but I do. But anyway, that to see that next year, you see the thing that you take away? It ain't buildings, man. It ain't electricity, it ain't water, it ain't tractors. It's the people. Because ultimately, that's why you're there. You go there to do these things so you can show Jesus to them. And that's what you go for. But what you come back with is realizing that, wow, Jesus has revealed himself in them, probably more so than he revealed himself through you. That's the amazing thing. I mean, you see those pictures of these guys sitting down and those little kids holding on to them. I'm telling you, you can't imagine what that feels like. It's truly amazing. There's a little boy at Mafurga, my first trip there, with Marie and Luke and Kristen, and we were walking actually from, we stayed in the same house the guys did, and we were walking down over to Nana's house. And as we were walking, there was this little boy, and I don't remember his name. You know, we're talking 2 or 3 years ago now, and he was only this one time. But he would come up, and he watched me take a few steps. And I scare people. If we're down at Luke's, because they're not used to seeing big, fat, white people, Mafurga they are, because of Roy and Trish and so on. But down at Luke's, when you get into those villages, I freak those poor little kids out. Because one of the cultural things is, and I'm not joking, it's funny, but I'm not joking. Those kids have been taught that white people show up and eat their children. Yeah. So we went out to a village where the guy had the sticker stuck in his knee. Remember the little boy we helped? We thought he was going to lose his leg. And you guys, as a fellowship, helped. That kid is fine and on his way today. I can't remember his name now. But anyway, Lucas's nephew, I think it was, or whatever. Anyway, that little boy, we went out to that village to check on him. That's when I saw his knee. It was like, holy smokes. But anyway, as we got into that village in Luke's car, there was this little boy, and we pulled in. And they were used to seeing Luke, but for some reason, this little kid, he happened to come around the car just as I got out of the car. And I'm going, hello, little guy. And he just went, wah! And man, he bolted as fast as them little legs would go. And I felt terrible. I'm thinking, oh my God, I just scared the poor life out of this kid. You know, the bejesus, as they said. You know, this guy was thinking he was confronting heaven standing right there in front of him. And you know what was funny? As he took off running at Luke, stinking guy laughs. He laughs at me all the time, that Luke. A little turd, but bad guy. Anyway, what happened was, check this out. Just a few minutes later, Luke had parked in the wrong spot. And so this little boy who had run from me was over here. Luke fired up the car and was going to move it. And when he did, that little boy happened to be really close to that thing. And when Luke started it, it freaked him out even more than I freaked him out. Check this out. He turned around screaming again from the car this time. Wah! And he takes off and starts running. And who does he see about 5 steps in front of him? I swear. And you could see him go, those little eyes, it just went, pow! But you know what? He was more afraid of the car than he was me. And he literally, I kid you not, he ran, huh? And he jumped into my arms. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. So I guess I was the lesser of two fears for the poor little kid. Anyway, but you don't get that when you're up there. And so this little boy latched onto my leg and I kind of had to drag him around the rest of the day because he wouldn't let go of my leg. So, but it's the relationships. That's the significant thing. So I'm going to conclude this by just, I just want to read a letter from Roy. I talked to him about that. I told him the guys were going to share this morning and then show the video and stuff. And so I just wanted to get a perspective from him to, you know, to me to share with you guys. I know they've shared some things that they've talked about. So here's what he says. He said, well, we appreciated having Cecil and Henrique. That's your new name, dude. Henrique. I like the Henry kind of thing. That's cool. Yeah. And I like the Mexiguese. That's awesome, dude. How do you mix the Spanish in though with Chitewe? Is it Mexa Chitewe? Chitewe Mex? Huh? You tell you next year, yeah. Chitewe is the tribal language of the people that they were working with. And there's some Ndao mixed in there. So that's the tribal language. The national language is Portuguese because the country was ruled by Portuguese. So just so you know, understand. So we appreciated having Cecil and Henrique at Mafurga. They were a blessing. And then he's got in here JK. No, I'm just kidding. I am just sorry that Trish and I left pretty much while they were still here. They had to go to down to South Africa and also over to Zimbabwe, which is the next country over. I would have loved to work through a fill of the practical needs together with them, especially the water. I arrived back a few days ago, Wednesday, and this was sent last Friday, so it was just last Wednesday, with spares for the tractor. It's funny. It's like I've said, you see white people up there and you don't think they're African. But when they're white people that were born and raised in Africa, they're African. Their mindset is just, you just, as Americans, we look at them, we just marvel and just go, wow, why do they do things like this? But anyway, I arrived back a few days ago Wednesday with spares for the tractor. It was involved in a small accident. Remember, we helped with the tractor? So that, I think that was it on the picture. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure which one it was. But anyway, it was involved in a small accident in which it pull started another tractor, which when the other tractor started, rammed into the back of ours. There's this thing called brakes. Pushing the PTO shaft and breaking a few things. So in other words, they ran in the back of the tractor, jammed the PTO shaft into the back, and probably shattered all the bearings and stuff. Shaft and breaking a bearing and a few things. But I have obtained the necessary parts in South Africa, and the tractor is being repaired right now and hopefully running this afternoon. Nothing happens this afternoon, trust me. I also purchased new water pumps in South Africa, as the guys had shared. And for the, now check this out. And for the first time this year, we have water, running water in our house. First time this year. That was their house that you saw. Yeah. Looks like a log cabin. That's the house where the first time we went with Luke and Kristen, we wrote back to you guys and told you that we didn't have water even then. I don't know what he's talking about. That was 2 years ago. And they cooked chicken for us. Remember, the chicken wasn't done? You guys remember the story? And so Roy said, well, the chicken is not done. So if you could stay at the house here, I'm going to go ahead and take care of this chicken. And so he picks this uncooked chicken up in this microwave, puts it in his microwave, picks it up and carries it off. And we're like, where the heck is he going with that? So he comes back to us and he said, well, I had to go plug the chicken in the microwave into the outlet in the bathroom because the outlet in the kitchen won't handle the power. So we had chicken that was partially cooked in the kitchen and finished cooking in the bathroom. In a microwave. Good chicken. We ate. We didn't die. We're still here. So anyway. And they wouldn't let me go to the bathroom last year because of this. They didn't want me to go in. And I told them, please. Because they didn't have water. She didn't. Oh, I can't let you go in there. The toilets won't flush. I'm like it matters. I'm a guy. Who cares? Got a window? I'll use that. Today. There's a saying. Just so you know, if there's no water, this is one of the things we learned in the mission field. I shouldn't probably tell you this, but you'll like this. And Luke reminded me of this when we were there, because a lot of times you don't have water to flush toilets and stuff like that. You don't want to waste water dumping water into the toilet. Flush it. I mean, come on. You gotta have, if you don't have water, you gotta have, use it for a lot of other important things. So here's the saying: if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. So that way, you guys all know when you go out into the field, you can put that up on your mirror in the bathroom. So anyway, today I also have to get the second water source pumping from the tank that the guy set up for us at a water spring. After that, we will get the new borehole drill, which should then enable us to have a constant supply of water. And then he said, please give the church a big, big thank you for their love and help to us. And thanks to Marie and your... Well, you know, you get that. You don't want to hear that. But anyways, so that's why we do this. That's why we go. Not just to watch cool videos, to watch ourselves being dorks on film. We go because there are people out there that don't have what we have. And just like our brethren from 2,000 years ago, we pool our resources and we bless them, because in doing so, we're ultimately showing them the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right.